No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there, Crispy. Insert coin.
I'm sorry.
That's great. I get Chris here, unfortunately, has a bit of a chest cough.
Yes.
And so when I catch him off guard like that, his bronchial tubes all protest at the same time, just like our listeners.
Yes. So, you can hear a thousand tiny alveoli screaming at once.
And then we're suddenly silenced?
Yes.
That's tragic. So the reason why I said insert coin in the first place was not to make Chris fall over, but was a cheap segue into our topic, which is video game consoles.
Yay.
Now we...
Which don't require coins.
No, but, you know.
Well, they do. Whole lot of coins.
That's right, baby. So you guys who have been with us the whole time may remember a long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, we talked about video game consoles, but that was like our seventh episode. That was back when we did episodes that lasted 5 minutes.
And we talked like the guy from the Micro Machines.
Right. And currently we do episodes that range about as long as your average German opera. So, we felt it was about time to go back and revisit. I'm sorry. Chris has just totally lost it. That finally cracked me up. No, but we thought we'd go back and revisit the episode and kind of talk a little bit more about consoles, especially after getting a couple of iTunes reviews where people said we were lame because we don't cover gaming enough.
You know, we're not a gaming podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, not to argue with you. I'm just saying we're not a gaming podcast.
No,
we have to cover other stuff.
We are not a gaming podcast, but we do sometimes cover gaming because it falls under the umbrella of tech. But we're not exclusively about gaming, so that's why you're not going to hear that many episodes.
So please feel free to write 2-star reviews about how we never talk about digital cameras.
Please don't. if you're gonna write a review, make it positive. I know Stuff You Should Know said that they wanted more reviews, but they wanted people to be honest. You know, give me a 1-star review if you really don't like it and tell us why. I'm telling you, our listeners, don't do that. Leave us 5-star reviews. I don't care if you tell us why. Okay, so now that we've moved on.
You can give honest reviews to stuff you should know, though.
Yes, feel free to give honest reviews to stuff you should know. So let's talk about video game consoles.
Okay,
now that we've already alienated all of our listeners.
Now, we weren't going to talk about all video game consoles.
No.
I mean, we could go back to the whole birth of Pong thing again, but if we start talking about history, we'll be here for about 6 German operas.
Oh, okay, here, well, let's do it this way. Tell me what video game consoles you currently own that you actually could play, like, without having to hook them up to your TV. Like, what's hooked up to your setup?
Oh, what's
right
actually
now?
Hooked up?
Yes.
The only things I have hooked up are, technically the Sega Genesis just needs to be plugged in.
Okay.
But it is actually sitting on the entertainment console. The only two that are actually hooked up and you can actually flip the switch and have it come on are the PlayStation 2 by Sony and the Nintendo Wii.
All right. And so for our listeners, here's what I have hooked up to my entertainment system where all you have to do is turn it on and it's ready to go. I've got the Nintendo 64. I've got the Nintendo GameCube. I've got the Nintendo Wii. I've got the Sony PlayStation 2. I've got the Sony PlayStation 1. I've got the Xbox. I've got the Sega Dreamcast. I think that's it.
You must have like A, B, C, D, E boxes.
I have an HDTV with lots of inputs.
And I'd also like to point out that I have a Nintendo DS Lite, which does not need to be hooked up to a TV to play it.
No, I've got a Game
and it
Boy
is available.
Advance. Booyah. Well. Take that, Paulette. So
my Game Boy Black and White is in a box, however.
So that might be another reason why we haven't really tackled video game consoles in a long time, because Chris and I, neither of us own all of the current generation consoles.
Yeah.
The Wii is the only one we both own, and it's not that we don't necessarily like the others. There are other factors, which we'll get into. We'll talk about that, about, you know, why we own what we own and maybe why we don't own the other ones. But let's start just by hitting the basics. So let's start with the Xbox 360.
Okay.
It's Microsoft's entry in there. Of course, that's the successor to the Xbox, which was a very popular game console.
Yeah, I would say it's the first of the current generation.
Yeah, it was the first one out. It was the first one out on the market. And I would say, well, I mean, the Wii has bigger numbers in sales, but the Xbox is, I mean, that's like the, I think that's probably the go-to choice for most gamers.
So just as an aside, are we going to talk about these all together and compare them, or are we just going to go one by one? Because I was going to make a statement and I thought, yeah, I don't want to ruin the
Go ahead and make a statement. Go for it.
Yeah, you know, of the three current generation consoles, they're really kind of different machines because the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 are high definition machines.
Sure.
They have very, very high end processors, at least compared to, you know, previous generations and the Wii for that matter.
Sure.
And they're really aimed at a different segment of the market.
I completely agree.
Or were when they were released. I think they're all sort of converging on one another now.
Right.
Including the Wii, for that
matter. I think the Wii is probably moving the slowest of the three, and the other two are kind of flailing around trying to get to where the Wii is. It's kind of interesting, really.
Well, the Wii is part of the reason why the Wii is so much less expensive, which helped it in sales, is because they used Nintendo decided to use off-the-shelf components. I mean, Sony spent a lot of money developing that processor, which is an amazing processor, especially for a game console.
Sure.
But, you know, Nintendo went, you know what, let's just take one of these and that thing over there and 6 of those. Okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And it helped them because it helped them keep the cost low. But it also means that it doesn't do 1080p, which is, you know, high definition. It basically looks as good as a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have an HDTV. I have a standard definition TV, so it's not that big a deal for
me. Yeah, so for you, it wouldn't really make a difference if you owned one of the other machines because you wouldn't really be able to tell the difference in graphics quality.
Right, right.
So your television's not capable of showing it.
Right.
Mine is, but that's another matter.
Right.
That's not obviously not what's really important to me if I only own a Wii and not an Xbox 360 Correct. Or a PS3. So yeah, the processors on the Xbox 360 and PS3 are much more powerful. The PS3 has got that cell-based architecture for their processor, which is pretty amazing stuff. I mean, that it's really a powerful machine. I think you could say that out of the three, the PS3 has the most horsepower, really, potentially anyway.
Right.
You have to be able to design software that can take advantage of the hardware.
Right.
It's not, the hardware just doesn't like, doesn't make the game just run better on its own. You have to architect the software properly or else you're just not going to see the benefit.
And that's a benefit of having a gaming console too, because, as Jonathan has frequently pointed out in past podcasts, PC games suffer from this problem because you want to buy the latest, say, Command and Conquer. You find out that your processor might squeak out playing the game, but you don't have enough RAM and your graphics processor, there's no way.
Right. Yeah, you would have to set all the settings so low that you're looking at stick figures throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah. So, I mean, the console specs are a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, In this case, you have to write for Sony's specific custom chip and take advantage, you know, that's really geared to making it look great on the machine. And in years to come, you're still going to be able to play games on it because people aren't going to go out and write something for, you know, another 500 megahertz worth of processing power or another gigahertz worth of processing power because the console itself really hasn't changed.
That's true. Yeah. And, so let's jump back over to the Xbox 360 really quickly. Okay. I was just going to mention that it comes in three flavors.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. There's the
today.
Who
it
knows?
Has come
tomorrow.
In other flavors in the past.
So there's the three that you can go, shop for right now are the Xbox Arcade, which only has a 256 megabyte hard drive. And it's
megabyte.
Got, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, the Arcade only has 256 megabyte hard drive. Which, you know what? I remember back when I was a kid and I owned a 286 where I would have thought 256 megabytes was way more than you would ever need.
Oh, sure.
And it also is not compatible with older Xbox games because it doesn't have the hard drive capacity to run them. Now the Xbox 360, the flagship
model,
it's got a 60 gigabyte hard drive. So that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
And it also comes with some stuff that the arcade version doesn't come with, like a headset, comes with a network cable. And it's it is compatible with about 300 titles from the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Xbox Elite.
Elite.
Yes, that's the 120 gigabyte hard drive. And it's got all that stuff. Plus, it has an HDMI cable. All three of them have the capability to plug in via HDMI into a television, but only the Elite actually comes with the cable. Otherwise, you have to buy it separately.
And those are $80 billion. I'm kidding.
Approximately. We didn't price it before, but we are willing to bet.
It is. I'm willing to bet that it is
Tyler's
slightly
left
less
leg that it's $80 billion.
And once again, our producer makes it into the segment.
Yes, we will call him Stumpy from now on. So, now, the Xbox CPU, it's got three symmetrical cores running at 3.2 gigahertz. That's their CPU.
I see you're reading the same information chart that I am.
Yes.
The one right underneath says two hardware threads per core.
Six hardware threads total.
Yep.
Yes. So it's a powerful machine. And,
even now, several years after its release, this is still considered.
Well, especially when you consider that it's just dedicated to gaming.
True.
You know, Microsoft would totally have me strung up for saying that because there are other things you can do besides gaming
the
Xbox.
But that's its primary purpose
is to play video games.
A mission. You could tell what I think of their normal game set.
It is nothing. There's nothing wrong with having video games be your primary reason for being.
No.
For many years in my teenage phase, video games were my primary reason for being. So I have no problem with a console that's that way.
And it's an IBM PowerPC chip too.
Right.
Which I find kind of funny in a vague sort of way since, you know, Windows is linked to the Intel processor for, you know, computers. Yet they went with the IBM PowerPC chip, which was for a long time the Mac processor. Although not anymore. It does have a custom ATI graphics processor as well, running 500 megahertz with 10 megabytes of embedded RAM.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive stuff too. I mean, it's understandable because again, Sony and Microsoft both really pushed the whole, this is the next step in evolution for graphics and, that was the big focus was that look at how much better this looks and sounds compared to the last generation consoles.
Mm-hmm.
That was their selling point. It's not the way Nintendo went, which, ended up working really well for Nintendo, but we'll, again, go into that a little bit. What did you have some smart ass comment?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about the PS3 as well. There was just an announcement today as of the recording of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So, in the near distant past for all listeners.
Yeah. That'll tell you which day it was that you can go back and look.
Yeah.
To find out what day it was that they announced the brand new PS3 Slim.
Right.
Which apparently you don't mess around with.
No.
If you live in the south side of Chicago.
Right.
Anyhow. Yeah, it's basically the PS3 in a new package, and well, except it does have a sort of semi-meager hard drive, just 80 gigs?
No, it's up to 120 now.
Oh, is it?
The old one was 80.
Oh.
The new one
I thought the Slim was only, okay, sorry. I was hasty in my pre-podcast research because they just announced it. It was a rumor all morning.
Yeah. And so this one's going to cost $299, which is a big dip in price. I mean, that was the biggest problem that people had with the PS3 for the longest time was that it was the most expensive of the three current consoles on the market. And Sony seemed unwilling to cut that price year after year. And it was infuriating gamers who said, I want this system, but I refuse to pay $500 for it.
Yeah. Yeah. 500?
600? Yeah.
Anyhow, it was very highly touted at the beginning. And, people were talking about the PlayStation 3 and what it was, you know, the big impact it was going to have in the market. And initially it did, like the first few days when people were lining up around the block to get their hands on them.
Right.
And then, you know, so many people just said, you know, look, I can't afford that.
Yeah. That purchase price was a huge hurdle that a lot of people just weren't willing to try and jump over. And, you know, I mean, even when you factored in the fact that it has Blu-ray, I mean, that was a selling point.
That was the selling point.
Yes.
Because it was the cheapest Blu-ray player you could get.
Yes.
For a while.
$600 is the cheapest Blu-ray player. That's tough. But, and that's no longer the case, of course, now. I mean, there are Blu-ray players that are significantly less expensive than that. But, but at the time, it was the cheapest. And yet, it still wasn't enough to get people to, you know, jump ship en masse. Now, you did have the enthusiasts who adopted it and loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some really good games that came out pretty early for the PS3 and still has a very good library. There's one major problem I would have with the PS3.
And that's the lack of ability to unplug your previous PlayStations.
Yes, that would be it. The lack of backwards compatibility. You nailed it. Backwards compatibility is really important to me. And
well, I think of you as a backwards type guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of because the way I wear my pants. So, but yeah, backwards compatibility is really important. It's, you don't want to necessarily have eight machines sitting around your television like Jonathan Strickland does.
Well, no.
You know? Yeah, it's just, it's not convenient to have that many devices all plugged into one television. And if you can upgrade your hardware but still have access to your old library of games, it's great. And some companies have been pretty good about it. And up until the PS3, Sony was one of them. The PS2 could play PS1 games.
Yep.
And that was, you know, one of the reasons why upgrading to PS2 wasn't a big pain in the butt, because you knew you'd still be able to play all your old games. So you could trade in your PS1 for, you know, $3 and put that towards your purchase of the PS2. And feel good about it. But the PS3, not so much, not backwards compatible. And there were a lot of people who were hoping that would maybe be built into the new Slim package, that you would have backwards compatibility added to that as some sort of firmware upgrade. It does not look like that's the case. It looks like the PS3 will remain incompatible when you're talking about older titles.
One thing, I think that, one criticism I did see, and of course, nobody has their hands on one of these as of right in the moment, is where's all that heat going to go from the processor? Because they said, you know, that's an awful slim case for such a big processing heat plant.
Well, it'll be
interesting to see if that is an issue too.
You remember when the PS2 underwent its transformation?
Yeah.
I mean, there was same sort of thing, like halfway through or maybe a little, well, I guess halfway through the PS2's life, it changed. Cause yep. The neat thing about the PS2 is people are still making games for it. So
they're still making games for it now.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
it's still, as a matter of fact, Sony's still selling a lot of PS2s,
which is another reason why backwards compatibility would be awesome, because that library is only getting larger. Unlike Xbox, they discontinued Xbox titles when the Xbox 360 came out. I mean, they came out, there were some Xbox titles for a few months afterwards, and then that was it. And then you couldn't find Xbox titles in any current store. And now you can't even find them in used stores because whenever I go in, they have the 360 titles, but not the Xbox titles. Since I have an Xbox, that kind of bites for me. Because I don't get to play all these old games that I always wanted to get a hold of.
That's because, Microsoft has that relationship with its developers.
All right. That's, gosh.
That's, okay. You introduced me to that, by the way.
That was my fault.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
I guess
you want to get into the specs on the PlayStation 3 at all?
Yeah, well, they're a little more complex because you're talking about a cell-based processor. So it's not apples to apples.
No.
But it can
handle 2 teraflops of math.
That's a lot of math.
That's a lot of math.
I could only handle up to algebra 2. So,
all right then.
I don't know. I was pretty much a flop when it came to calculus.
Oh.
You
know what I just thought of?
What's that?
We didn't talk about?
Okay.
You could tell sort of the way they go, and this is really just another sort of verbal sidebar. Xbox 360 sort of hitched its horse to the HD DVD format.
Yes.
As its high definition.
Sad trombone.
Yeah. And versus the Blu-ray player.
Which still sad trombone.
Yeah. But it's funny though, because that really actually this puts the Wii into context, because you could tell what these audiences are looking for. I mean, people who buy, or at least initially bought, the Xbox 360 or initially bought the PlayStation 3, they were looking for something that would do all of it. High definition, high quality gaming. They're looking for something that can handle a lot of math, can show you, realistic 3D interpretations of human beings, basically 3D representations of human beings shooting at one another.
Yeah.
And when you weren't playing games, you were watching movies in high definition. The Wii is for a totally different audience.
Yeah.
It actually bundled a title with it. Wii Sports, which is not an accurate representation of a human being at all. They're not shooting at one another, and you can't watch even a DVD on it. So it's a completely different group of people buying this machine at the outset. The people who bought Wiis are people who wanted the gameplay that they could get with the Wii Remote and the Nintendo characters. They wanted Mario. They wanted, Link from the Zelda series. And, a sort of a new player, in this case, Sega, their relationship with Sega, and they wanted Sonic.
Well, they also wanted a game system that would let them play with other people in their living rooms.
True.
See, the thing about the Microsoft and Sony approaches, or especially Microsoft with Xbox Live, was that the focus wasn't so much get a whole bunch of people in your room and play video games. It was link up with people who are in their living room across the city and shoot at them for a while over the internet.
They're shooting across my city anyway, but they don't really use game consoles for that.
Well, we do live in Atlanta.
True.
But for Nintendo, it was more about, hey, we got a party going on right here, y'all. So why don't you pick up a Wiimote and play?
Yeah.
And so that had an appeal to a different group as well. Often, we'll call one group the hardcore gamers and the others the casual gamers.
Uh-huh.
So hardcore gamers are the ones who are really focused on especially in like say Xbox, they're focused on getting achievements. They're focused on being the best they possibly can be on these games. And they want to dominate in various, first person shooters or strategy games. They very objective oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could argue that the main audience for the Wii are more experience oriented, not experiences in like role playing games, but really like the experience of playing the game is more important than the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, kind of an armchair psychology sort of thing right mm-hmm. there. But, I mean, as an Xbox owner, part of that mentality was still back then. I mean, that was part of that console as well, was that a lot of some of the most popular games for the Xbox were these first person shooters and strategy games.
Yeah. Halo. And,
Halo,
which is a third-person shooter, but
no, first-person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's first-person shooter. There is another Halo game that's more of a third-person strategy game, but the
you can tell I don't own an Xbox, I played Halo.
Halo 2 was one of my favorite games on the Xbox, and again, that was one of those where I would hook up with folks who are online and we'd all shoot at each other. So Nintendo Wii, why is the Nintendo Wii the only game console, current game console that you own, Chris? You've mentioned some reasons already.
Well, frankly, price had a lot to do with it.
Sure.
And the fact that I'm not a first person shooter gamer. So, you know, those systems appealed to me for some games, but the bulk of the games that I saw as being popular for those systems, I said, you know, it's great. I know a lot of people who love those games, but they're not, you know, I'm more of a casual gamer, you know, because I'm old. I'm kidding.
No, he's there not. Are lots he really of, is old.
Well, I really am old, but that's not why. Because there, I know plenty of, people who are 40 and older who love, you know, shoot 'em ups.
Sure.
And,
sure.
Plenty of younger people who love casual games. So I'm teasing, but, it's just one of those things that I just never got into. So I said, you know, I don't really want to play Xbox 360 games. I like some of the PlayStation 3 games, but it's way too expensive. I should point out, you know, longtime fans of the podcast will say, wait a minute, you're a Ratchet and Clank fan. You should love the PlayStation 3. And that's a shooter. Yes, but it's sort of cartoony. So, you know, if it's got humor in it, I can palate the violence a little bit more.
Okay.
I stand or I sit corrected in this case. The Wii, I had an opportunity to play the Wii at a friend's house, admittedly on a projector. So we were playing on the side of a wall and I just fell in love with it. I said, this is really cool. And when, the same friend found one on the shelf and said, hey, you want me to grab this for you and pay me back? I said, yeah, sure. You know, $250 is a good price point for me. So, it was easy to do. And, I like a lot of the games. Plus I like the gameplay with the Wii remote and the nunchuck. As long as you don't fling it into your TV.
Sure.
Plus I don't have a high definition television.
Right.
So it's, you know, PlayStation 3 games are virtually inaccessible to me.
Yeah.
I could use an Xbox 360, and they actually have made inroads on reaching out to more casual gamers. I mean, the arcade is designed for people who like classic arcade style games games that are not as resource intensive as some of the, you know, high end shooters. And that has a lot to do with why I'm a Wii person. That and
you're
I'm not
a Wii
taller
person
than I am.
Right. It's true. Faith Amagora, crispy, a little Wii person.
Send hate mail to Jonathan.
So I'm also a fan of the Wii. That's the only current game console that I own. The main reason why I purchased it, I agree the price was a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
When you only have so many hours of the day that you can even dedicate to playing a game, you really start thinking of return on investment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I wanted a system that would be I'd more likely find games that my wife would also like to play because, you know, that would be a way for us to hang out and have fun without, she wouldn't just go into the bedroom and read a book while I'm out there, you know, fragging people on Halo. So that was nice. I was really intrigued by the Wiimote. I wanted to see how well they implemented that. And it turns out it's pretty good implementation. And of course, they've added more to that with some dongles that you can buy.
Yes. You mean the Wii Motion Plus?
Yes. And so I was really interested in that. I thought that was a neat technology, and I wanted to see how well it translated, especially for things like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking in my mind about the stuff I would love to be able to do. Like lightsaber battles.
Yeah.
So that was a definite draw for me. That was the main reason why I looked at it besides, it was the price and the gameplay. At this point, I actually am thinking about buying another console, and with the announcement of the Slim, I honestly don't know which one I would go for, although I'm leaning more towards the Xbox 360. Now, when I talked to you, you said that you were actually leaning more toward the Slim.
Yes.
And why would that be?
That would be the three words I mentioned earlier, Ratchet and Clank, which is an exclusive Sony.
So title. That's the killer app
that,
for you.
Yeah, for me, that would be that
Halo
would be
3.
Yeah, see, and again.
Actually, no, there's quite a few. There's Halo 3. And some of them are available also on the Sony. But the neat thing is that each, even for games that cross platforms, often they have specific content dedicated to just one of the two platforms.
Yeah.
Sony wins out in a big way on one of those.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think it was, which game was it? I want to say it was one of the fighting games where you could play as either Darth Vader or Yoda, depending on which version you have.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been, Soul Calibur, that version.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Calibur. Yeah. I've seen it, yeah.
And so if you have Soul Calibur for the Xbox, you get Yoda. If you have Soul Calibur for the PS3, you get freaking Darth Vader. That's just wrong. I would need to get a Sony. Oh, he's the baddest mofo this side of Alderaan, let me tell you. And I want to play as Darth Vader, so that may be enough for me to get a PS3.
I would be willing to bet that the console manufacturers don't really care if you buy the other guys, just so long as you buy one of theirs too.
Sure.
And I think the funny thing is, we're reaching the upper length of our German opera.
Yes.
But I think the funny thing is,
ladies warming up.
The reason that we got on this subject anyway was when we were brainstorming, we wanted to talk about next generation consoles.
Right.
And there's virtually nothing that we're privy to that we can find out about them.
Well, part of it is that Sony announced not that long ago that they're just at the halfway mark for the life of their console.
But
So we're like, we've got another 5 years of this?
But the thing is that the specs on these are robust enough where I think they could probably make them last a little longer than
I think they've also
generations.
Learned a lesson that just because you get more powerful doesn't mean that you're going to sell a ton of consoles. That's not enough to get the market now. You have to have more than just horsepower.
Yeah. But I was going to spend like a minute and tell you what I thought, or at least start the conversation on what I think is going to happen in the next generation.
Okay.
And I think it's already started happening.
Sure.
I think you've got to have wireless.
Yep.
Between the machine and the internet, you've got to have internet access, but you've got to have wireless internet access, and you've got to have wireless between that and the remote.
Uh-huh.
You got to have motion sensing. So, I mean, like, that's why Microsoft is already
Natal.
Yes.
Right. That looks amazing, by the way. Have you seen any of the videos?
Not very much of it. Not nearly enough of it.
It looks
pretty,
pretty
amazing.
Pretty. If they can really tweak that system to work the way that it worked at E3 when they were demoing it, that is going to be phenomenal.
Well, I mean, considering they're talking about making that work for the PC,
yeah,
and not just for the Xbox,
where it all becomes gesture based.
Yep. Yeah. And the success of the handheld phone games that use the accelerometer, like on the iPhone.
Sure.
I think it's just gonna happen.
Everything
from now on is going to have that functionality. And I think that they're going to design for basically every market. They're going to encourage developers from every walk of gaming. Because I think that, I mean, all the rhetoric we heard coming out of the Sony channels when the Wii was announced was, oh, this is just a kiddie game console. It's like, well, they realized that, you know, people like to play a variety of different kinds of games.
Right.
And which is why the Wii is starting to see fighting games, like serious fighting games.
Oh, no, there's some really bloody stuff on the Wii.
Wasn't the case early on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're seeing that Sony and Xbox developers are starting to develop more family-oriented games.
Yeah, party games and things like
that.
And
party games.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to all diversify. There's just certain technical things and certain developer things that you're just going to see on all next generation consoles, no matter who it's from.
I think ultimately it all boils down to gameplay over everything else. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Wii did so well, is because the Wiimote was such a revolution in gameplay compared to the other systems that it was more compelling to a lot of people. Plus cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper and more compelling.
So I think there are a lot of lessons learned during this current generation that you'll see in the next generation,
yeah,
and it may encourage other people to get in.
Yeah, we'll probably see more integration of other services as well, like Netflix and Amazon, things like that, so that you can, you know, so that it does become more of a media center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen media centers try to make their way in through the gaming market before and fail miserably because they were too narrowly oriented and very expensive. But, you know, we're slowly moving that way. I mean, the Xbox and Sony are both kind of leaning toward that. Nintendo, not quite as much, but there's still some of that in the Nintendo system as well.
Yeah. Well, I was totally going to get into mobile stuff, but we don't have time for that now.
No,
maybe we should make a podcast about mobile gaming.
Okay. In the future, we'll do a podcast about mobile gaming.
Okay.
Now we don't have to worry about it for another 5 or 6 months. Yay. Well, that brings us to our favorite segment, a listener mail. This listener mail comes from Greg, and Greg says, "Thanks for the Linux podcast. However, only losers use Linux? Sigh. I know, Chris is terrible for saying that."
Oh, stop it.
If you recall, I mentioned that Chris hates Linux, and he says only losers use it. But no, that was me, and I was making a joke. So I apologize to all Linux users. You are not losers. You're all very special, and we love all of you just as much as our Windows and Mac compatriots. You know, it's not your fault that you don't have a real operating system.
The HowStuff Works Systems engineering team would like to take this opportunity to remind Jonathan that we control the servers used to serve his podcast, all of which are some form of Unix or Linux. We also control his internet access at the office. And as a response to his unfortunate comments, and as a service to TechStuff's Linux listeners, we have rate limited him to 28.8 kilobits per second. Sorry, Jonathan. Got root?
I'm kidding. Yeah,
long-term fans know that we like to tease, and that's part of the thing is we like all kinds of tech, even though we don't always know everything about it.
Speaking about teasing, this is a good opportunity for me to mention this.
Oh, no.
We did ask the question in our Linux podcast, why is Windows 7 called Windows 7 when you can't make it add up to 7 no matter how you count it? We received lots of interesting answers, most of which conflicted with one another. But we did receive a couple of people responded with links to the official answer, which we linked to in our blog, the TechStuff blog. So if you want to know the real answer to why Windows 7 is called Windows 7, visit the TechStuff blog, look up the TechStuff podcast roundup for Linux, and you will find the answer. That also means stop emailing me with your various theories. We already know the real answer. I mean, I bet your theory is awesome, but I've read enough of them.
Well, there are lots of them, which is really funny.
Yes.
There is even that much wiggle room.
So if you have something you would like to say to us that is not Windows 7 oriented, please write us. Our email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. You can read all about these video game systems at howstuffworks.com, and Crispy and I will game with you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.